Well, greetings once again, everyone. It is Thursday, March the 2nd. That means it's time for another A2A webinar. Today, we feature a returning guest. Gentleman we first spoke to last February, I thought it was time to bring him back in today, and that gentleman is Dimitri Speck. Dimitri is a widely regarded and well-respected commodity and gold analyst. He runs a fabulous website called seasonalcharts.com, and he's also known and maybe best known for being an author. And his book fits right in here at TFMR with the title of The Gold Cartel, Gold Government Intervention in Gold, The Mega Bubble in Paper, and What This Means for Your Future. So it is a pleasure to have Dimitri back with us, and I look forward to seeing what he thinks of these markets now today. Dimitri, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you very much for the invitation, and hello to everyone.
Again, for everyone listening, in this GoToWebinar platform, it allows you to ask questions of the guest. I've got a couple of my own, but if you've got anything you'd like to ask Dimitri as we go along, just quick click your questions tab in your GoToWebinar control panel and type one in. It comes to me, and I relay it on to Dimitri. First, Dimitri, I think we might as well just get caught up. It was last February that we spoke. The Fed in the U.S. had risen interest rates for the first time in about 10 years. And gold was responding favorably by moving up. It moved up quite a bit, 30-35% before falling back before the next rate hike, and now it's up again. Want to see what your thoughts are on the gold price in general here as 2017 begins.
So I generally think that we are in a big gold bull market, which started in 2001, was interrupted later since 2011, and we are now in the second phase of this bull market, which started in the end of 2015. And this second part of the bull market, in my opinion, will last several years still and will lead to much higher gold prices. I compare the situation a little bit from the technical side with the bull market in the 70s. There we had also two parts, yeah, and with an interruption at that time, a correction of the gold price from 200 to about 100. But this time, the duration is just more than two times longer. Yeah, so I expect much higher gold prices in the years ahead.
I had mentioned on my site earlier today, I'm going to be writing later about what we've all seemed to have forgotten, and I'm sure, but you remember this. You mentioned that this bull market started in 2001, really maybe 2002 or three as well, is about time we really took off from the 300 level. But price went from 300 to 1,000 from 2003 to 2008, and that was a period of rising, I guess we'll call it normal interest rates. We've all kind of gotten sidetracked these last couple of years with QE and zero rates, and we seem to think that that's the only way gold goes up, but that's not true. Gold has a history of rising through rising interest rates, doesn't it, Dimitri?
That's correct. Gold is, let's say, kind of money, even if it's not used in for barter, but it's used for, as store of wealth. And in this, it's in competition with our currencies. But it's not this direct competition, let's say it this way, that if the yields are rising or falling, then gold is rising or falling or vice versa. It is more connected with the real rates. That means that in when the real rates, meaning the rates minus the inflation rate, is low or negative, typically the gold price rises. And exemption from these rules are mainly like after 2011, if we have other assets which are doing very well. And after 2011, this was mainly the stock market. So the investors switched to the stock market and, for instance, also in Europe and in US as well, to the real estate market, which also gave good yields, good returns. So despite we had low or negative real rates, for a period the gold price could fall, but generally this negative yield, negative real rates or low real rates will push the gold price much higher. And my thesis is that we will have low or negative real rates for a long period because we are simply very much indebted worldwide. This is the core reason, finally, why I think we will have a long bull market in gold in front.
Well, and to your point, you know, that is a lot of what you wrote about in your book a couple of years ago. The mega bubbling paper is right there in the title. And we see this continue to play out. There's certainly no shortage of paper assets these days and still dollars being created and fiat currency devaluation.
Yeah, we are in the biggest paper money bubble in the history, in, at least in peace times. There were only very few periods when we had debt levels like we have currently. And for instance, we had things in U.S. after the Second World War, the total indebtedness was lower than it is now. Yeah, and we have also high indebtedness in Europe and in Japan, the highest. And we have also a very high indebtedness in China now as well. So in the second largest or even largest economy of the world. So the whole world is indebted. And what is very important is that debt has always two sides. One is the asset side and one is the debt side. That means every debt is the saving of somebody else. Yeah.
Yep.
And as we have so high debt compared to GDP worldwide, we will with very high probability have huge problems with this issue. It's not that it goes off automatically.
Right.
Have most probably a bad outcome.
Right. Well, and to that end, Dimitri, that's my second. I have a second question for you before we get to some of the listener questions. And that just has to do with what you think of the physical situation, particularly in Europe. You know, my friend Andrew McGuire has been writing about very tight physical supplies at the wholesale level. We've seen the recent data is just breathtaking, the amount of gold that is being exported from the UK to Switzerland, where it's obviously getting re-refined and sent east. Heck, it's been 235 metric tons in the last 2 months alone have left England, Great Britain, and gone to Switzerland. What is your sense of the tightness of gold supply in Europe and around the world?
Generally, we have... From a big picture, we have the problem that the mines currently in the last 2-3 years they increased their production, but generally that we have the problems that they are, that the grades are lower and lower. That means there are only a few grams per ton remaining, and this is of course for the gold which is already above the ground. Very big positive sign. Yeah, it will need much higher gold prices to increase the gold production significantly. And generally, I must really point on this. The thing is not the fundamentals, like how much is needed for jewelry or something like this. The thing is from the money and debt side. Mm-hmm. So if there is distrust in money, and if there's too much debt, then there is demand for gold. Yeah, and it will increase even more. This is my main thesis. And this demand will also come from not only from private people, but also from investment managers, and even later, it will also come more and more from central banks, because central banks are faced with the same problems like every other saver. They have even bigger problems, the central banks, because they cannot invest, for instance, in real estate, what a private person can do. Yeah. So there will be much more demand for gold if the scenario continues and if it's burdens. Yeah. If we get, for instance, inflation, if we get banks who go bankrupt, if we get some state or the euro that collapses or things like that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I've got a couple of questions already backing up a little bit for you, Dimitri, so I might as well move into that part of the program. Again, if anyone has a question you'd like to ask Dimitri, you click the questions tab on your GoToWebinar control panel and type it in. The first question comes from a guy who goes by the name of Mikey. And Mikey just wants to know what you think of the Shanghai Gold Exchange and why, at least so far, it has not seemed to have a bigger impact on precious metals prices than we've seen.
Generally, regarding China, we must look what is the interest of China. And we find here the Chinese have a very big, let's say, big savings in paper assets, especially the central banks, also in U.S. dollars, but also other treasuries. They cannot simply buy all gold. And so the demand from China is high, and it goes partly, of course, over the Shanghai Exchange, but it is not that high as many people have hoped for in the past. Yeah, still the main exchange is the COMEX. Yeah, and this will change part time by time, but not that quick.
All right, and I've got at least two questions in queue for you. Then we'll see what you think. And again, anybody wants to type anything else, feel free. The first one has to do, you mentioned this actually a few minutes ago, the central bank assets. You know, the central banks in Europe are actively buying just about everything. Swiss National Bank is a big owner of a lot of U.S. stocks, including Apple and others. But a lot of these European central banks are also buying the mining shares, and that's ultimately what the question is. Do you think that these central banks buying the mining shares is good? And second, what do you think of the mining shares in general at this time?
I think the central banks, let's put it this way, there are central banks like China or also Germany who have a big problem because their assets, what they have, are at high risk. Yeah, I'm not sure whether you are aware in U.S. Germany, for instance, has already 800 billions against the European Central Bank in the balance sheet. So if, for instance, Italy or France decides to leave the euro and to pay back this their debt against the European Central Banks, in not in euro but in the new lira or so, the German Central Bank will be hit hard. And similar is China and also other Arabian countries, for instance, or Asian countries. They have huge amounts, mainly of U.S. dollar. And if in a few years the U.S. Bills have less value, what my thesis is, than currently, the central banks are also faced with a huge problem. So this will be a good motivation for these central banks to buy especially gold. Mm-hmm. And then we have other central banks, like the Swiss central banks, which have a quite different picture, because there is money fleeing mainly from Europe into this quite small Switzerland. And for that, they are buying a lot of euros, and they have to invest these assets. And they are simply trying to deal like other investors, like other institutional investors. And they buy also, for instance, Apple. I don't think that the mining shares have a special role in their portfolio. They might consider them like other shares only. Mm-hmm. And then there was a second question with mining shares. I think the question about mining shares in general.
Yes.
Yeah. The mining shares did rise quite a lot and quite quick in the first half of last year. Yeah, this was really good. A lot of fun for the owners. And now we are in a correction which, in my opinion, already has ended. Yeah, for both, for gold and for the mining shares. So I expect that the mining shares will continue to rise, but not with that high leverage against gold, what the mining shares did have in the first half of 2016. Please don't expect this. Some mining shares will still have a leverage against gold and also the index, but not that high. Yeah, this was outstanding because the mining shares did drop from 2011 to 2016 much more than gold. Yeah, And so there was really a huge correction to a more normal environment. But this is, of course, through the rising already reached in part. So I expect that the mining shares in total will have some leverage in gold, especially if gold continues to rise significantly. But I ask the audience, don't expect this high leverage again. This was an exception, in my opinion, which we had in the first half of 2016.
You make a good point. Debts, for sure, Dimitri, in that a lot of those indices, a lot of the individual stocks went up 3 and 4 and 5 times. The main mining share index tripled in the first 6 months of 2016. But if you go back to that first Fed rate hike in the period where the mining shares bottomed out, the mining shares on balance have doubled and gold is up 25-30%. And that's about what we should expect at this point. It seems like it's all kind of back in sync, doesn't it?
We are more in a normal environment now with the mining shares. Yeah. They dropped too much after 2011, by far too much, and they did rise too quick. Well, not too quick, but they did rise very quick to go to a more normal level. And I think they will behave now more and more normal like they are usually doing in a bull market, which I think we have now again. Yeah, I think we are in the second half of the bull market. And it's quite difficult to predict the performance of the mining shares. I did a lot of studies of the 70s. And there, for instance, the mining shares did not rise so good in the first half of the second part of the bull market, which in my opinion we are currently reaching. But then later they did rise a lot at higher gold prices. And even when gold price already did fall, several mines did continue to rise at that time. So we have a different picture regarding mines in the 70s. It's clear because we had this huge rise now. Yeah, but generally, looking at this fundamental perspective, but also at the sentiment, the mines did a good recovery in the second half of 2016, and it's, in my opinion, very unlikely that they continue with such an leverage against gold like they had in the first half of 2016.
Yeah, that makes sense. I want to jump a question up the list and ask you about negative interest rates in Europe, because you had kind of touched upon this in your discussion of central bank policy. We continue to see significant negative rates, particularly in Germany. That two-year German Bund got to what, negative 95 basis points a couple of days ago. Is this an entrenched trend? I guess that's what Mike is asking. Is this something that is going to continue, or will European rates begin to move back above zero as well?
Okay, the rates are artificially suppressed by the European central banks because the head of central banks and the European central bank has decided a few years ago, it's not so long ago, 2 years or whatever, to make this QE, quantitative easing, buying all these bonds, government bonds, but even from companies' bonds, when in US they already stopped. And the goal was officially, of course, to increase to fight against deflation, blah, blah. But most likely their real goal was to weaken the euro, to improve the industry and the production side in countries like Italy and Spain and France even, where the euro was too high simply because it was more for Germany. And now we have the totally absurd situation that, for instance, Germany has a current account plus of 7% against GDP because the euro is too low. And Italy and Spain and France, these countries are still suffering. They are not doing very well. And so I think the political pressure on the European Central Bank to change this picture will increase because it's simply nonsense what they are doing. It does not help. It's even worse. If you have interest rates of 0% or below, you create bubbles, for instance, in the real estate market, but also in other markets. And you also send a sign to the governments that they can spend as much money as they want because the money is free. So it's a very bad politics, in my opinion. I disagreed with this politics since long. And this is the background of these very low interest rates. And the second background is, and this is, in my opinion, a kind of false thinking of many, not German, European investors. It's that they think that the savings in Germany are more safe than in other European countries because of this euro problem.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. In case the euro splits, which is not unlikely in the time to come, then there will be huge problems, for instance, for countries like Italy or France, because the savers there know, of course, that their savings will be less, will be devaluated. Yeah. So this money is fleeing to, as I mentioned already, Switzerland, for instance, but also to Germany. And this causes, of course, is partly the reason that the yields are so low, especially in Germany. Yeah. But I think the savers are doing here something wrong. They should better invest in gold, for instance, because, as I already mentioned, the money what is in German banks is on the other side the debt of, for instance, the Italian banks or of the Spanish banks, at least partly. So if the euro breaks, which can happen at any time from now, in my opinion, then the savings also in Germany are at high risk, at very high risk. So, this is not a good situation. And as I can tell only, I prefer gold far above the euro.
Yes, me too. And I've long said that was a tremendous fundamental for physical gold ownership. You've partially answered the next question, which comes from Chris, which is about the future of the economic union between Brexit and potentially Frexit out of France, Italy-leave out of Italy, Grexit out of Greece. What do you think is the future of the economic union in Europe?
Very hard to answer. The thing is really very bad, for instance, in Italy, and it's also not good in France, and these are far bigger countries than Greece. And within the Eurozone, these countries in reality don't have a good chance. Yeah? Otherwise, they would already have solved the problem. So it's quite obvious that we first have this economical split in Europe, which cannot be solved, in my opinion, within the euro system. And then we have more and more also political split in Europe. Yeah. We have this political split in many issues and economic issues, but also in points like refugee crisis and things like that. And I can't remember in my life that the situation was so bad in Europe. And there were so little politicians who are even recognizing them. They are really doing as if everything is more or less fine. And this reminds me more, let's say, the last stages of the Soviet Union than anything else. Yeah, that's not a normal behavior of the leader of a country. Yeah, they should address the problems and try to solve. And I see nobody doing so. So this is a kind of split. And economically, let's put it this way: if the Eurozone fails, for instance, because Italy wants to leave, or just because of a new euro crisis, then. We cannot exactly say what will happen, because such a scenario that a currency union breaks is not that often. We had them in the Soviet Union, for instance. We had them more than 100 years ago also in Europe, where there was the so-called Latin currency union. But the examples are very few, and the situation is quite different. In my opinion, I guess the European Central Bank will react with a lot of money printing, with a lot of money printing to overcome the problems. But there might be also capital controls, or that you cannot remove your money from the bank. And there are several political and technical issues which might arise.
Right, Right. A real calamity if it happens. I've got just one last question for you at this point, Dimitri. And this one comes from Gabe, who just wants to know what you think of the gold-silver ratio. If the gold bull market resumes its normal course, as you mentioned, what do you think of the gold-silver ratio? Will it go to a smaller number? And what do you think the proper ratio should be?
I don't have a figure about the proper ratio. But generally, silver is compared to gold, has a leverage. It happens. By the way, I have a kind of echo. I hope you don't have it.
No, you're coming through. Okay, good to hear.
So when silver does rise, and gold does rise, so when we have the second part of the bull market, which I see for the next years to come, then silver will outperform gold significantly, percentage-wise. So I prefer, from this perspective, silver much above gold, and also above the mines, by the way, because I expect silver to rise much more in percentage than gold. This is a typical behavior of silver when we have a bull market that it outperforms gold. We had it in 2010 or 11. We had it several times also before 2005, I guess. I must look. We had it in the 70s. So when we have a good bull market in gold, silver does outperform gold significantly. So I prefer, from this perspective, silver much above gold. And the second is, in case I'm wrong, and in case we will get a bear market, I think silver will also drop more than gold. So we'll have also this leverage in the other direction, but not so significant, not so much like in the upside. So from the chance to risk ratio, I think silver is much better than gold. And I prefer silver a lot compared to gold. The only disadvantage, of course, of silver is the costs are higher, the storage costs are higher, the difference between bid and ask is much higher, things like that. But I think the ratio will change in favor to silver a lot during this bull market.
Sounds good to me. All right, Dimitri, we have reached the end of all of the questions, but we have a bit of a tradition here as we wrap up these webinars. And it's called the Final Four, which is just four fun, kind of quick questions that you can usually answer with just whatever comes to your mind, a word, a sentence, something like that. So if you're ready, can I lay them on you?
So I should answer very shortly, correct?
Yes. Yeah, just whatever comes to mind.
Okay, please.
The first question is, a lot of interest this morning that one Bitcoin is worth the same dollar amount as an ounce of gold. What will get to $2,000 first, a Bitcoin or an ounce of gold?
Depends on China. In my opinion, Bitcoin does rise because the Chinese have this capital issues. Wow. Don't like this question.
Okay. We'll call it a tie.
So next question.
Okay, next question. You travel a lot, but I assume you've been to the U.S. more than once.
I have been in U.S., but not so often.
In the U.S., particularly in California, we have a hot dog restaurant called Der Wiener Schnitzel. Have you ever been to one?
I know the Wiener Schnitzel because I'm often in Vienna, and in Vienna they make really very good Wiener Schnitzels. Yeah. Well, they're extremely tasty. You don't get it abroad at all.
It's a play on words at this restaurant chain. They make hot dogs, and it's called Wiener Schnitzel, not the Viennese Wiener Schnitzel. It's kind of a play on words. That's why I didn't know if you'd ever been.
Okay, I didn't know.
All right. Next question is, I understand that the zoo in Berlin is the largest in the world. Have you ever been there?
I have been in the Zoo of Berlin, and it was quite funny, but it's years ago.
Is it a nice zoo? Is it someplace people should go?
If you're in Berlin, you could go, of course.
If you're into zoos? All right. And the final question is actually a trivia question. Again, you're a German guy, so I figured you could appreciate this. Germany is number 3 in the world in per capita consumption of beer. Who's number 1 and who's number 2? Do you know who the countries are that's ahead of Germany in per capita beer consumption?
Oh, I would guess the Czechs are in front.
Yep.
And second country, I don't know.
Oh, come on. I was counting on you having this one, Dimitri. Austria.
Is it US? Don't tell me.
No, Austria.
Austria. Okay. No, I didn't know. But maybe, yeah. This is a region where beer is drunk. Bavaria, where I am, Austria, and the Czechs. Okay.
They like their beer. Dimitri, thank you so much. It's always such a pleasure to visit with you. And again, I want to recommend everyone go back. There's a link on this page to Dimitri's book, The Gold Cartel, Government Intervention in Gold, The Mega Bubble in Paper, and What This Means for Your Future. Dimitri, thank you so much for your time today. And hopefully we'll speak again before another year goes by.
Thank you very much for the invitation. It was a pleasure for me to speak to all of you.
And thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you again soon.